This is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, God is so faithful. God is so faithful. No matter what happens in our lives, we learned last week that He has shalom. Say shalom.
Shalom.
Shalom in Hebrew means peace. Amen. What do you do when you are in a dire situation? Okay, you feel like, wow, this is unlike the problem that I have seen before, right? You say one word, shalom, right? When life presents a challenge in your life, right? A situation that seems to be like, it's not getting better. Looks like it's as good as dead, right? You know what you need to say
shalom.
To that situation?
Shalom.
Shalom. My God is bigger than you. Amen. Hallelujah. Say to your circumstances, say to your challenges in life, just say, shalom. My God is bigger than you. Right? You're not bigger than my God. I say shalom, peace.
Yes.
Even if you're dead, God can raise you back up. Hallelujah. God is really cool, man. When a situation is as good as dead, Jesus can raise the situation back up.
Yes.
Nothing is too hard for the Lord. Amen. Are you blessed? Are you happy?
Hallelujah.
You just have to depend on the Lord more. Right? To the degree that you are worried, to the degree that you are anxious about that problem, to that degree that you are still self-dependent. Did you hear what the Holy Spirit had just said? If you are worried about a particular problem, whatever it is, relationship challenge with somebody or a financial situation, you are worried about it. That means you are still putting your trust in yourself.
Amen.
That's it. Because if you really trust in the Lord and you believe that He will provide the money for you, you will not have been worried.
Yes.
You will not be worried about how a relationship can be fixed if you really trust in the Lord.
Amen.
Right? In the case of relationship, either God's gonna fix that relationship or God's gonna give you a better relationship, right? So beloved, I just want to let you know, God is God. Over whatever things that you are worried about, your worrying is just a waste of time, a waste of your mental energy that could have been used to meditate on what the Word of God says, that could have been used to focus on Jesus, that could have been used, amen, to enjoy time with your family, to enjoy your husband, to enjoy your wife, to enjoy your friends, to enjoy your children. You could have used your mental energy to enjoy life and life more abundantly instead of worrying. So what do you do again when the situation seems to be bigger than life and it's gnashing its teeth at you? What you gonna do about me? You just say, shalom. You're not bigger than my God. My God is bigger than any mountain of my life. God is my source. Ain't nobody is my source. Right now, the Holy Spirit is supplying the corporate anointing that exists only in the church. It does not exist at home. Like, let's just stay at home, listen to the message online, and we never come together as a church. Yeah, you can still be blessed. There is an individual anointing there. The anointing can still bless the individual person at home. But if you want corporate anointing, you do what you're doing. Every Sunday, make it a top priority. Lord, I'm going to take as much corporate anointing that I can get for me and for my family who cannot come to church. So that throughout this week, whatever challenges that come my way, I will not be running out of gas.
Amen.
I'm coming to the gas station right now at the church, at a corporate gathering, and that's exactly what you're doing. Keep it up. Keep it up, because this is where the best blessings of God that God has for us. Amen, beloved of God. So we are going to just say, by the corporate anointing that the Lord has supplied through His church, whatever the challenges that come my way, I just say one word, Shalom. Peace. God's going to provide the money. God's going to provide the people. God's going to provide everything that I need and everyone that I need. I find my security in Christ and Christ alone. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. We are so blessed. We are so blessed and we are so thankful for the goodness and the grace of God in our lives. Hallelujah. Are we having fun yet? Are you blessed yet? Amen. Can I hear a clap offering to Jesus? Let's glorify Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, for all the glory and the blessings that you've given us. We are so blessed. We are so blessed. Thank you, Father. Now, for the main entree later, we're going to enjoy, you know, a really good word today on how to be a church on the offense. Amen. We're going to play offense now. We're not going to be satisfied, right, playing defense all the time, getting beat up, right? The Bible says our struggle is not against flesh and blood, right? People are not our enemies. Our struggle, the Bible says, is against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the spiritual wicked forces. The devil, in other words. And today we're going to learn how to be the church on the offense. Hallelujah. We're going to, amen, hallelujah. Yes, let's give all the glory to the Lord. We're going to, amen. If you're sick and tired of being punched, the enemy just keep on harassing you, the message today is going to equip you to be a church on the offense. So that, you know, the devil will think twice before harassing you again. Okay, from now on, God is good all the time, and all the time God is so very, very good. We are blessed, we are blessed. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. So, without any further delay, we're going to show the first slide. This is the spiritual picture, if you will. This is what Jesus said. I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And the church came out of Jesus' side when He died at the cross. Do you remember?
Yes.
How they pierced His side, and then out of His side came the church. Right? So, we can meet together today as a church because of Jesus, our redemption. Because of His love for us. We can come together today as brothers and sisters in Christ because of Jesus Christ. And now, God says, I will build you, church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against you. So there is no Lone Ranger Christians in this scenario, because He said the church, you are the church, right? You, along with all your other brothers and sisters, together we will become a church that will attack the gates of hell, right? The gates of hell cannot prevail against us, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Hallelujah. So I'm just going to do a quick review of the armories. Remember, this is the belt of truth. Look at the picture. It covers your loin. It covers your nakedness. Remember, the devil always wants to make you feel ashamed. But the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God unto salvation for everyone who believes. So remember, when the devil brings some of the shameful acts or the shameful thoughts that we may have done in the past, remember this picture, amen? Remember, you've got the belt of truth that covers your nakedness. And remember, the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ, amen? Next, this is the body armor of God's righteousness. Notice, your heart is supposed to be protected by this golden body armor called God's righteousness. That means you receive no condemnation, right? If the devil wants to condemn you because of your past or something that you did or you didn't do, look at this picture and remind yourself that I am the righteousness of God in Christ. Because now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe. Who are all them that believe? We are, as a church, together. We have this body armor. Next. This is the shoes of the gospel of peace. Look at the bottom of the shoes. Notice how it's got spiked soles, right? What's the purpose of those spiked soles? So that the Roman soldiers, they don't slip. They can stand firm. And it comes from the gospel of peace. Ephesians 6, verse 15a. For shoes, put on the peace that comes from the good news. So make sure you hear the good news, the gospel of Jesus, our redemption. Amen? Next. This is the shield of faith. Notice that you need your brothers and sisters for the shield of faith to be very effective. With you all together, lifting up your shield, I'm very secure here. Nobody can attack me from the top. Nobody can attack me from the front. Right? I'm not vulnerable. So make sure you're a part of a good local church. Because when brothers and sisters are lifting up the shield of faith like this, we become invincible from the fiery arrows of the enemy because of the shield that protects us all around. Amen? Next, the helmet of salvation. We talk about, I am eternally accepted in the beloved of God. Alright? So, don't believe any teachings or any preachings that you may have heard that creates fear in your heart that you have lost your salvation. Or there's something that you can do that may cause you to lose your salvation. Believe that once you are born into the family of God, you are eternally secure as the beloved of God. Your salvation is guaranteed by the eternal blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Now, these are all the defensive armories. Next. This is from Ephesians 6 verse 14 to 18a. Stand your ground. Stand. That means I'm defending here what I've got, right? I'm defending what I've got. That's why it says stand. Stand your ground, putting on the belt of truth and the body armor of God's righteousness. And then it says, for shoes, put on the peace that comes from the good news, so that you be fully prepared. So when the enemy comes like a flood, remember that shoes got the spiked soles, I can remain firm, and I can just say, shalom, right? The peace that comes from the good news, that I am the righteousness of God in Christ. I'm standing firm, regardless of what the enemy might be doing. I fix my eyes on Jesus, He is my peace, and the gospel says that I am His beloved. I am the righteousness of God in Christ. Now, look at the next part. In addition to all of these, hold up the shield of faith to stop the fiery arrows of the devil. Put on salvation as your helmet and take the sword of the Spirit. Notice the color changes on the sword. The color is red because now it's no longer defensive now. It is offensive because sword, when you wield your sword, okay, the enemy is going to start to be intimidated. Wait a minute. I can't keep on just pounding these guys. These guys, people at Life Giving Church International, they know how to wield their sword. Now you become offensive because it says, take the sword of the Spirit, which is the saying of God through all prayer and supplication, praying at all times in the Spirit. That's why it's called the sword of the Spirit, because you are praying at all times in the Spirit, the Bible is saying, right? Okay, I'm going to expound further. I just showed you the equipment to be a church on the offense. You need the sword. That's the only offensive weapon that you've got. Amen. Everything else is defensive. So if you want to win the game, you got to play offense. You cannot play defense all the time. And God says, I give you that sword of the Spirit. When that sword is taken out of its sheath, the enemy will think twice to harass you again. Because now you are a church on the offense. Right? Look at the picture here. I want you to have a mental picture. It's not just, you know, a cool picture for you to watch. I want to see spiritually. This is what it looks like. It looks pretty intimidating. Alright? The devil is afraid of this truth. That as a church together, we can be a force to be reckoned with. Where the gates of hell cannot prevail against us. Amen? Hallelujah. So, beloved of God, now it's time to wield that sword. Because the Bible says,
take the sword of the Spirit, which is the saying of God, through all prayer and supplication, praying at all times in the Spirit. Now, by the way, I take that from the Young's literal translation. Because if you just read from the King James Version, it's not very clear what this sword of the Spirit is. In King James, it says, or some other Bible translations, take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, period. The Word of God. Does that mean it's from reading the Bible? It comes this sword? That's why I take it from the Young's. The Young's literal translation put it very beautifully here. The sword of the Spirit, which is the saying of God. So it's not God's word. It's the saying. Well, it's okay to say God's word. But specifically, it's the Rhema. Say Rhema.
Rhema.
Right, that's right. Rhema. All right. Rhema. Okay. Beautiful. Yes, I'm teaching the children too. Okay, children is part of my ministry, right? This is the Sunday school with all the children together, right? Remember, I'm going to teach you a bit of Greek. There are two words in the Greek for the Word of God. One is Logos. Say Logos.
Logos.
Another one is Rhema.
Rhema.
Rhema is the spoken word. Like when Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that came out of the mouth of God. Guess what's the word that's being used there? Rhema. It's not Logos.
Yes.
Like your Bible is a Logos, a written word. Rhema, in general, is talking about a spoken word. I'm giving you Rhema right now because I'm preaching the word. I'm making the word to come alive as you come to church with the corporate anointing of the Holy Spirit. More than just at home reading the Bible. You can still get some benefits from reading the Bible. But unless it's the Rhema word of God, right? The word doesn't seem to come alive. Here it's the word Rhema here. That the Bible is saying. It's the saying of God, Rhema, through all prayer and supplication, praying at all times in the Spirit. Say, in the Spirit.
In the Spirit.
That's why it's the sword of the Spirit, right? So praying at all times, it says, in the Spirit. So what happens if I use my spiritual language, right? And I quietly, just under my breath, I pray in my spiritual language, not in English, but in tongues.
Yeah.
I pray in tongues, quietly, under my breath. Oh, la ba la ba shan. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, la ba shan. Hey, it's not English. It's a spiritual language. You are speaking the Rhema, the spoken word of God in the Spirit and in the spiritual realm. What you're doing is you are wielding that sword of the Spirit. And it says, all prayer and supplication, praying at all times in the Spirit. Praying at all times. Man, at all times. As you're waiting in line, quietly, just under your breath, in your car. Amen. You can pray at all times in the Spirit. This is your spiritual offensive weapon. Amen. Use the spiritual sword by praying in the Spirit. Using your heavenly language. Continue to pray. Continue to fan into flame. That gift of tongues is not in English. It's in tongues. You continue to pray. And it is so powerful, church. The more you pray in tongues, the more all kinds of good things will begin to happen. The enemy may not like it. The enemy may try to discourage you, right? Like, it seems like all hell broke loose when you start to pray in tongues. But don't give up. That just means you just rattled their cage. You keep on remaining offensive. Keep on attacking their gates. Keep on praying in tongues, even if you have tired jaw and hanging tongue, all right? Or whatever, right? When you feel tired, keep on pressing in. Keep on pressing in, especially at night. What do you do at night when you cannot sleep? Man, that's one of the best times to quietly pray in tongues until you fall asleep. Man, it's so amazing. Pray in tongues. You are wielding the sword of the Spirit, beloved of God. Amen? Because it says, take the sword of the Spirit, which is the saying of God, through all prayer and supplication, pray at all times in the Spirit. Amen, beloved of God. Just praying in tongues as much as possible. And when we, as the local church, praying in tongues, continue to pray in tongues, man, that is an amazing offensive weapon that the gates of hell cannot prevail against it. Amen? Yes. Now, let's look at the next slide, because in the mouth of two witnesses, a testimony is confirmed. Let's look at the next slide here. This is Isaiah 54, verse 16 to 17. See, it is I who created the blacksmith, who fans the coals into flame and forges a weapon fit for its work. And it is I who have created the destroyer to wreak havoc. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. And every tongue which rises against you in judgment, you shall condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is from me, says the Lord. So, beloved of God, I'm just confirming you that the sword of the Spirit here is something to do with your tongue. Because in Isaiah 54 here, verse 16 to 17, you notice that God says, I created the blacksmith who fans the coals into flame. Fans the coals into flame. Ready? Say it with me. Fans the coals into flame. Fans the coals into flame. That's the key word here. I'm going to show you later. So, I created the blacksmith who fans the coals into flame and forges a weapon. Yeah. Somehow when you fan the coal into flame, you are forging a weapon fit for its work. And it is I who have created the destroyer to wreak havoc. You're going to wreak havoc to the gates of hell. Amen. You're going to wreak havoc to the gates of hell whenever you fan the coal into flame, the Bible says. And it's got to do with your tongue. It's got to do with your tongue, because the next verse, it says, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. And every tongue, every tongue which rises against you in judgment, you shall condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is from me, says the Lord. So, beloved of God,
amen, amen.
How many of you have heard Isaiah 54 verse 17 being quoted independent of verse 16? No weapon formed against me shall prosper. But then they still keep on getting knocked.
Yeah.
Because they forgot the verse before that. Verse before that in verse 16 says, fan the coal into flame so that it can become a weapon fit for its work. And as you are a part of a good local church, a church on the offense with the corporate anointing together with your brothers and sisters, you will be a church where the gates of hell cannot prevail against you, and it will wreak havoc to the gates of hell. As the result, beloved of God, verse 17 comes in. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. And every tongue which rises against you in judgment, you shall condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is from me, says the Lord. Amen. Now, are you ready for the next slide? There's a reason why I make you say, fan the coals into flame. I'm going to show you the new covenant verse where Apostle Paul says we are to fan the flame. Give him the next verse. This is 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6 to 7. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame. Say, fan into flame. Fan into flame. The gift of God. What is this gift, Apostle Paul? Oh, it's the gift that is in you through the laying on of my hands, Timothy. Remember, in the book of Acts, there are some believers, and Apostle Paul asked them, have you received the Holy Spirit since you believe? We haven't even heard of the Holy Spirit, okay? And then the Bible says, Apostle Paul lay hands on them, and what happens? They begin to speak in tongues. So this gift that we can fan into flame here, the gift is referring to the spiritual weapon that we have, that is the sword of the Spirit, where you can pray in the Spirit in tongues. tongues by the power of the Holy Spirit, and you fan into flame. Notice what happened. For God has not given us a spirit of fear. Are you easily afraid? Are you easily, get into a panic attack mode? Well, God says, fan into flame the gift which is in you through the laying on of my hands. And then the next part of the verse says, God has not given us a spirit of fear. Hallelujah. Say goodbye to your fear. Say goodbye to anything that caused you to have panic attacks. Because when you fan into flame this gift of tongues, God says, I've given you not the spirit of fear, but of power. Hallelujah. Of power and of love and of a sound mind. Amen. Hallelujah. The more you fan into flame, amen, the more power of the Holy Spirit manifests. It is the offensive weapon of the Holy Spirit that will wreak havoc. Hallelujah. To the gates of hell, beloved of God. Amen. So when you pray in tongues, amen, you fan into flame that gift of tongues together with the corporate anointing in the church, amen, you become such a force that God says, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. Because every time you pray in tongues, instead of fear, you receive power, you receive love, the revelation of God's unconditional love and grace. You experience the love of God. You experience a greater degree of Jesus accepts me the way I am. And He gives you the sound mind. The more you fan into the flame, right? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. The more you fan into the flame, that gift of tongues, the more sound mind you will experience according to Scripture. Because you're wielding that sword of the Spirit. Hallelujah. God is good all the time. And for those of you who don't know how to speak in tongues, remember, the moment you receive Jesus Christ into your life, the Holy Spirit is already in you. All you need to do is step out in faith and begin to pray in an unknown language, the Bible says. You begin to pray, instead of in English, all of a sudden, wait a minute, what is that? I don't understand what I'm saying. It seems like I'm babbling. The devil will say, or you're just making things up. You're just babbling. No, you begin to, hallelujah, hallelujah. Maybe you start with hallelujah, and then all of a sudden the syllables become more and more rich, and the rivers are flowing even more. That's the gift of tongues. You've already got it. The moment you receive Jesus Christ, you have the Holy Spirit and the gift is already in you. All you need to do is fan into flame. All you need to do is just fan into flame and begin to pray in language that you don't know. Hallelujah. What is that? I don't understand. Keep on fanning into flame. Keep on fanning into flame. That is the Holy Spirit. That's not from the devil. That is the Holy Spirit. You're not babbling. It is the voice, the rhema. It is the word of God that you are speaking. You are speaking thanksgiving. You are speaking worship beautifully. Except you just don't understand what you're saying, but your spirit is communicating directly to God. And that is such a powerful weapon that God has given us, because whenever your spirit is praying directly to God, beloved of God, man, God who knows the mind of the spirit, or the spirit who knows the mind of God, you are praying a perfect prayer whenever you're praying in tongues, because now there's no more unbelief. When I pray using my natural language, sometimes my mind is in the way. Sometimes my mind would say, how can that happen? You know, when I pray, oh Lord, I pray, you know, for this big blessing, Lord, to happen in my life. And then the mind says, oh, how is that going to happen? It's like there is unbelief sometimes when you pray through your mind. But when you pray straight from your spirit directly to God, oh, Rabba, Shimba, Rabba, hallelujah. I don't know what I'm saying. It's not English. Oh, Rabba, I believe, Lord, by faith, this is the spiritual language. I'm not crazy. I'm just speaking the truth. Lord, I'm not babbling. I know you're listening to me. Oh, Rabba, Rabba, Shimba. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You are wielding the sword of the Spirit. Amen. Amen. You are wielding that sword of the Spirit. I'm just encouraging you, church, to fan into flame. Yes. Keep on fanning into flame. Amen. You don't know what you're praying. You're praying all kinds of good things to to protect your family
yes.
from dangers that you don't even know.
Yes.
Because if you pray only based on your intellect, you can only pray based on what your mind
yes.
is aware of. But when you pray using the language of the Spirit, you can pray such a perfect prayer
yes.
that no weapon formed against you will prosper. And every tongue that rises against you, your tongue will condemn them. Hallelujah. And your righteousness is from me, says the Lord. Man, no more fiery arrows of the devil. Because now, man, no weapon formed against me. I got all the defensive weapon, and now I'm going to wield my sword. I'm going to keep on speaking in tongues, and I know no weapon formed against me shall prosper. Hallelujah. We are a church on the offense. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So, beloved of God, I want to encourage you.
Yes.
Amen. Once we make this available online, I want you to listen to the word again and again and fan into flame
yes.
as you're listening to the sermon and keep on praying in tongues. We are a local church on the offense
yes.
and the gates of hell will not prevail yes. against us.
Amen.
Amen. All of a sudden, there'll be a greater degree of joy. You don't know where it's coming from. It's from the Lord.
Yes.
A greater degree of peace that you will experience because of the Holy Spirit in your life. Because the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating or drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Are you blessed or are you blessed? Let's stand up, church. Amen. Let's give a clap offering to the Lord. Hallelujah. Yes, thank you, Jesus. We are blessed. We are blessed. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. We are blessed. We are so thankful for your goodness and grace. Father, what a blessing to be able to preach on all the spiritual armories that we have and how invincible we are, not just defensively, but even offensively because of the sword of the Spirit. Father, I pray for everyone who is listening to this message that we will be fanning into flame that gift of tongues more than ever before.
Yes. Yes.
We'll be praying in tongues and praying in tongues. And when the enemy causes us to not be able to sleep at night, we say, praise the Lord. I get to pray in tongues even more. Hallelujah. I'm going to pray in tongues until I fall asleep. Hallelujah. I'm going to keep on praying in tongues. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, beloved of God, fan into flame that gift of tongues. And for those of you who are listening to me, you don't believe in the gift of tongues. Well, it's too late. It's already in you. The moment you receive Jesus, the Holy Spirit is already in you. You've already got the gift. All you got to do is step out in faith and begin to pray in a language other than English or any known human language. And you begin to, oh, rabba, rabba, shenda. Wait a minute. Wait, am I making this up? No, that's the gift that's already in you. The moment you receive Jesus Christ, you don't have to spend all night long, all night prayer to receive that gift. The moment you receive Jesus Christ, you've got the Holy Spirit. And with the Holy Spirit, you've got the gift of speaking in tongues. And now, fan into flame. Use that sword. Don't allow the devil to harass you anymore. Say, no more. I'm a part of the church on the offense. Amen. Hallelujah. God is good all the time. Man, I'm on fire here. Amen. I'm on fire. Amen. God is good all the time. All the time. God is so very good. Father, we are so blessed. We are so thankful. And in case online I got someone who's listening and say, well, I want to be a part of what God is doing in the end times, and you have not received Jesus Christ into your life, well, you need Jesus in your life so that the Holy Spirit can reside in you. If you have never been born again, pray this simple prayer. The Bible says when you believe in your heart and you speak, you will be saved. When you believe that Jesus died for you and He rose again, and you speak, Lord Jesus, you will be saved, the Bible says. So pray this simple prayer with me. If you have never received Jesus Christ into your life, the Lord loves you. That's why you're listening to Pastor Henry's sermon today. Lord Jesus, I believe that you died and rose again. I believe
that you are my Lord and my Savior. I receive you into my life from this day forward. I'm born again. I have the Holy Spirit in me, and immediately I can speak in tongues by faith in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Hallelujah, church.